In December of 2013, the Supreme Court of Canada struck down anti-prostitution laws that prohibited brothels, living on the avails of prostitution, and communicating in public with clients. They cited the laws were overbroad, exposed sex workers to harm, and violated their charter right. Parliament was given 1 year to come up with new legislation, should they so choose to do so. In the meantime, the provisions would stay in the Criminal Code. On Wednesday, June 4th of 2014, Justice Minister Peter MacKay tabled Bill C-36, the Protection of Communities and Exploited Persons Act. Minister MacKay has explained that the proposed legislation will target pimps and johns and not sex workers themselves. Since being tabled, the proposed legislation has caused much debate and criticism. One stakeholder's perspective that's largely not been heard is that of the sex worker. We spoke with Julie Grant, the Exec at Large for Sex Professionals of Canada. To sort of start things off as well, I'm wondering if you can kind of give as easy a digest as possible of the proposed bill C-36 and how your organization fits in with that.
Well, bill C-36 is quite a lengthy document, and it seems as though Mr. MacKay himself doesn't even know the precise content or what it means. It basically, if I was to summarize it, it basically is a reintroduction of the laws that were just struck down by the Supreme Court. So that would be the body house provision, communicating, and living on the avails, along with the added bonus of advertising being banned and criminalizing the clients. So it is everything terrible that already existed that we fought so hard to have struck down, bringing it all back, but making it that much worse.
How so making it worse in your view?
Making it worse by after all the education, all the volumes of evidence that showed that the laws force people in the sex trade to choose between their liberty and their security, and having a unanimous decision on the Supreme Court agreeing with the sex workers in this case, then to have someone just completely re-implement them with slightly different wording, and adding the advertising clause and completely criminalizing clients. So what that means is for the first time in Canada, they are criminalizing sex work. Like, buying and selling of sexual services has never been illegal in Canada. Now, doing it in certain ways has been regulated, and some ways have been deemed to be illegal in the past, and they were found to be harmful to the sex workers. We're bringing back to life those provisions, essentially, and just criminalizing clients for being clients. So how is that even possible? Like, for the first time in history, we're looking at criminalizing people that have not assaulted anyone. They've simply paid for a legal service. It doesn't make any sense. They're just trying to abolish prostitution, and they are using us as the pawns to do it, and our clients.
And now, if we can maybe get a little bit of a sense of a timeline. So the Supreme Court of Canada, in I believe it was December of 2013, had ruled that the criminal code needed to be changed, and they were given a year to do so. And this new proposed legislation was introduced in June of 2014. What's been your interaction with the sort of policymakers and government officials between that period of December to June?
Sorry, what's been our interaction with them?
Yeah, I mean, I know that there's been a lot of criticisms about the consultation between sex workers and the government, and criticisms of that, and I'm wondering what's been your experience with that.
Well, yes, we are very critical of that. When has the government ever let the public just have public input? Instead of consulting any kind of person with expertise, they're just consulting people, some of whom are potentially going to get some of the $20 million and create new jobs for themselves. So they've never done this before, where they just had a public consultation about an issue and then use that material to form legislation. So it's a whole new approach, wherein they did not ever have a big consultation with sex workers. Like, they included a couple of current sex workers in all of that. But they had those people, along with the evangelicals and the prohibitionist feminists, very small portion of feminists that are backing the view of criminalizing the men, criminalizing the clients, and instead they had people with vested interests And they're reflecting those interests, like more along the conservative kinds of social conservatism, you know, and totally the opposite of the sex worker. So it's very, very unfortunate. We just can't believe that this is what they did to create a law that's supposed to be about our well-being. It's supposed to have something to do with sex workers. That was the whole point of striking down the law in the first place. And the Supreme Court didn't say they had to replace any laws. There's plenty of laws on the books already to deal with the sex trade, to deal with exploitation and underage and human trafficking and anything like that. That's all illegal. They struck down the three provisions because they harmed sex workers. It seems as though it is just a ploy, a political ploy, for the next federal election in 2015, so the conservatives have a bone to throw to their demographic.
I have to ask, were you surprised when the quote-unquote revisions came through, or did you expect there to be change?
We were devastated. After having such a celebratory period of time since the Supreme Court decision on December 20th, we have been ecstatic to finally be listened to and be respected and have our health and welfare considered in the laws of this country and by the Supreme Court. Then to have this happen, we did expect, there was strong lobbying in certain sectors that they go along and criminalize the clients. So we kind of thought they were going to do something along those lines, which they did. But we didn't foresee them re-implementing the struck down provisions, essentially. And we didn't see the advertising angle coming, because the advertising portion of this, you know, the vast majority of sex work is done indoors, like over 90% of it. And now there is really no way to advertise. Now, so magazines or publications and websites that would host those ads are essentially not allowed to do it. So it lumps ads for sex services in with obscene material like child porn. It's putting it in the same category. And so internet providers, publishers, they could be charged. So they're not going to run those ads. And so how do we advertise? Like, it's basically, they're cutting us off at the knees.
I'm really, really interested to know what you would like to see in terms of reform.
We would like to go ahead and with the Supreme Court decision and not have, like, just have those laws struck down and have the laws that we have in place. And let us just live our own lives the way we have been. We've already been organized. We already have safety networks. We've already been doing this for many, you know, for time immemorial, we've been doing this. So we know how to do it. We know how to do it as safely as it can be done. And we should just be let to go about our business the way we have been. You know, I've been in this for 14 years. And because I work, I'm an escort with an agency. But that was the approach I decided to take to have the best safety network I could have, and it's worked. I have not had bad experiences because there's a whole team of people involved. Well, that's not allowed. So that's a huge problem. Like, everything that made it safer was illegal, and now when it's finally been recognized that those things made it safer, that you could have a driver and you should have a driver and you should be able to have other people involved in your work, so because it makes it safer, now they're taking that away. So it's just absolutely, it's hugely disappointing. It's dangerous, it's repellent, because what's very scary, back in 1985 they made the communicating provision, and after that the incidence of violence and murder, it multiplied exponentially because of that law, and now we're going right back to it. I would like to say that the model that we do like is New Zealand, where they just basically treat sex-based businesses the same as they do with any other standard kind of business, and they have the same kind of business zoning and just typical rules and regulations of business.
Again, listener, for you, I want to remind you that currently I'm speaking with Julie Grant of Sex Professionals of Canada. She's the exec at large. Earlier, you'd said that you just wanted to be left alone in terms of the government sort of pretty much interference and meddling with the profession. But I'm wondering if there's anything in terms of law or reform or reform that can be done that would make it a better working environment.
Well, I think the Supreme Court, by dropping the harmful provisions of the law, made that change and made a good change so that we can be more open and honest and collaborative and have safety networks. And I think that change was made. And legislatively, I don't think there is anything that they should be doing. I think they should have let that go and let the municipalities deal with it as they see fit. Because everything, all the harmful activities are criminalized already, so I don't know what any new legislation would do. And the federal government basically only deals with federal law, with criminal law. So those things are very well dealt with in Canada, and they should have been left alone instead of implementing something new and something that flies in the face of the Supreme Court, as usual with the Conservative government. And harms us directly. It's harming us directly under the guise of protecting us, which is so insulting. Like, the stigma has just gone right up. What are you saying when you're saying it's criminal to be a purchaser of these services? You're saying that there's something wrong with these services, and there's something wrong with the people who provide these services. So many of those clients are vulnerable people themselves who through disability or through age or through shyness, through all kinds of things, are not they're not able to engage with people as easily as someone else is, or maybe even time constraints. They are choosing to have relations with sex workers as opposed to other people for whatever their reasons are, and it's just awful the way that they've been labeled, the way that we've been labeled, and the way we are all being marginalized right now by this government.
We need to wrap things up just around now, but I'm really hoping that you can give dates to sort of keep in mind as things progress in this issue, and also maybe resources, websites, or other sort of points of access where people can tune in and stay in touch with what's going on with this case.
So there are multitudes of websites. There's SPOC.ca, there's Maggie's in Toronto, there's Power in Ottawa. These groups are keeping on top of this issue. There is a deadline of December 20th for the government to come through with some legislation. That's what the Supreme Court gave them as a one-year stay on the laws that they just struck down. So that's this coming December 20th of 2014, which they seem to be ahead of that and going forward. And we just one of the huge problems here is the conflation of consensual sex work with all these other things like human trafficking. And all those kinds of responses, which this legislation is, they fail to assist sex workers. They fail to assist victims of trafficking. They don't help us in any way. And in fact, failing to distinguish between these groups infringes on sex workers' right to health and safety. And it impedes the efforts to prevent and prosecute trafficking. So, like, the whole premise of these laws is undermined by the reality of the situation. And groups like Amnesty International, the Global Alliance Against Trafficking in Women, UN Women, like, everyone says these are terrible types of laws that shouldn't go forward and, in fact, harm the very people that they purport to be helping.
Julie, I want to thank you so, so much for the time today to talk about this case and this issue. Listener, for you, I've been speaking with Julie Grant of Sex Professionals of Canada. She's the exec at large. Julie, thank you so much for your time and your insight.
Thank you, too. Thank you very much.